I wonder, have you ever come across a person who seems to be able genuinely to relate well to anyone at all? Whether in your place of work, perhaps, or among your acquaintances, or neighbours, or friends. I don't mean the kind of ability to adapt one's character to a situation so that you're always pleasing to whoever you speak to, but a genuineness of character that seems to attract people. No rough edges or sharp angles. They're few and far between, I think, that kind of person. There's a beauty about them that is appealing to us, and to everyone else, of course. We like to be around people like that. That, I think, is what the New Testament is talking about. When Paul exhorts in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18 that as far as it is possible, we should be at peace with all. We should be the kind of people who everyone gets on with. There's no sharp angles or rough edges to us. We don't rub people up the wrong way. There's a pleasantness to us that people enjoy. People like to be around us. That's the kind of exhortation that is being presented there by Paul. And it's also the exhortation of the wise father to his son in the passage that is before us for our consideration this evening. In chapter 3, in verses 21 through 35 of the book of Proverbs, he opens with this intriguing statement, "My son, do not lose sight of these." We're almost on the edge of our seats already, aren't we, in anticipation. What is it that the Father wants us to keep our eyes fixed on? Well, he says, keep sound wisdom and discretion. He says, they will be life for your soul and an adornment for your neck. Effectively, what the father is saying to his son is this: my son, if you will behave wisely, you will be attractive to people. You will be appealing to people. You will have a beauty that people are drawn to if you will live wisely. To live in a relationship of peace with others is actually the main theme of this section of the book of Proverbs. And to live at peace, the ability to live peaceably with all people, is wisdom's work. So let's consider these verses. For the father goes on to state three things, or to rather perhaps exhort his son in three areas. He wants his son, firstly, to experience wisdom's benefits. In order to do so, he must exhibit wisdom's beauty. And that can only come if he enjoys wisdom's blessings. So firstly then, he wants his son to experience wisdom's benefits. He wants his son to have the fullness of life that comes through wisdom. After all, he has already said that if he doesn't lose sight but keeps sound wisdom and discretion, they will be life for his soul. He wants his son to have life, to experience the benefit that wisdom will bring to his life, not just to have life, but to have a richness of life, a fullness of life, a goodness of life, if you like. One commentator says, wise behaviour creates a safe environment which breeds confidence. And that's exactly what the father says in verses 23 to 26. This son, if he keeps sight of wisdom, if he keeps discretion, then the father says, you will walk on your way securely and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid, or we could translate this, you will not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Three things he's speaking about here. In the first place, he's talking about daily life. The walk that is a frequent recurrence throughout the book of Proverbs is a metaphor, a picture of life. We walk through our lives, quite literally, but also figuratively. Daily life is a walk. And the father is saying that if you live wisely, if you live according to wisdom's precepts, then you will be safe in that walk. So here's the picture of someone who is walking down a road and who, embracing wisdom, will be kept from stumbling and falling, from meandering off the right track into a bypath. You remember, perhaps, in Bunyan's classic work, Pilgrim's Progress, how Christian, at one stage in his journey, was tempted into Bypath Meadow. He thought it would be an easier route than the one that he was taking. Well, wisdom, you see, protects you from that kind of temptation and keeps you in the way that leads properly to the celestial city. Daily life is one thing. Living in the light is one thing, when you can see where you're going. But what about the night time? What about when you lay your head down on your pillow and in the quietness there, all kinds of thoughts fill your head and worry your heart? The night brings vulnerability too, doesn't it? All kinds of fears arise in the night that we never consider during the daytime. My son gets scared at night. Doesn't during the day. And we too, as adults, can be like that. For the quietness of the night and its darkness brings all kinds of sounds and dreams and nightmares to us. But you see, wisdom and its teachings will banish fear from the most timid of hearts. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. For wisdom, you say, puts the whole of life into proper perspective. It gives us the big picture. And the wise person, as we have already seen in our previous studies and we'll see again in a moment, has their confidence in God. the great and sovereign protector. So what creaks and groans and moans may be around us in the night are put into the right perspective of God's love and protection. And the thoughts that fill our heads and the worries that would keep us awake are banished by the knowledge that God in his sovereignty does all things well. So wisdom helps us in our daily walk to make wise choices, good decisions. It helps us in the night when we are perhaps most vulnerable and keeps us sane. But when the unexpected happens, when it seems that tragedy can strike at any time, when those around us are overwhelmed, what then? Well, the writer says, you will not be afraid of sudden terror, or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. You see, wisdom helps us to confront the unexpected with confidence, knowing that God is with us. And this life and this world and everything in it are simply preparing us for a greater life in a better world. Wisdom's benefits, you see. Peace in our hearts. The father urges his son to keep sound wisdom and discretion because of the benefits that they afford. Experience wisdom's benefits, he is effectively saying to his son. But how? Well, it comes through exhibiting wisdom's beauty. Or perhaps to put it a different way, is to put on wisdom. If his son will clothe himself in wisdom, adorn himself with wisdom's beauty, and exhibit it in his life, then these benefits will be his. How then is his son to do this? How are we to do this? Well, he gives examples of what it means to have sound wisdom and discretion. Examples of wise behaviour that creates this safe environment that the commentator spoke of, which breeds this confidence in God. Remember that what we are speaking about here is being able to live in the world in a way that enables us to relate well to all people. That is at the heart of this passage. As far as it is possible to be at peace with all. And so the examples that are presented here by the father to his son have this as its central focus. And he presents them with four or five examples. In verses 27 through 31. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbour, go and come again, tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbour who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason, when he has done you no harm. And do not envy a man of violence. And do not choose any of his ways. Here then are four or five examples of wise behaviour. Ways in which we can live at peace with others. And by living at peace with others, we ensure that we can navigate our lives without fear of the night or stumbling during the day. Firstly, he says, in the negative, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it. The Hebrew actually says, do not withhold good from its owners. You see, the thrust is that you are to give your neighbour what is rightfully his. What is rightfully his? Your help, your assistance, at any time of the day or night. That is the essence, then, of this exhortation. It's what lies behind the parable of the Good Samaritan, isn't it? Who is my neighbour? The man in need. Whether you're a rabbi, a Pharisee, a scribe, or just a no good Samaritan, your neighbour is someone in need. Do not withhold from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. It is their right to have from you any assistance that you can give. Of course, responding appropriately will ensure that you've made a friend, won't it? There will be one neighbour that you will be able to live at peace with and get along with, because you've reached out to him in his time of need, whatever that need may have been. We had a need for someone to help us get our car started last week. The lights were left on overnight and the battery was flat the next day. And our kind neighbour came over with a spare battery and a pair of junk leads and he started the car for us. It strengthened the relationship between us, because he met us in our time of need and extended a helping hand to us. Now, the next exhortation is very similar to it, so that some commentators actually combine these two, but at the same time, I think they are distinct from one another. Do not say to your neighbour, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Not only must we give our neighbour their right, but we must be prompt in doing so. My neighbour didn't say to me, yes, I can help you, I've got a spare battery, I've got the jump leads, I'll come over tomorrow and we'll get your car started. He didn't say that. The man shouting up at his neighbour's window, in the example that the Lord Jesus Christ gave, kept shouting until his neighbour got out of bed and gave him the bread that he needed. Then, at that moment, not tomorrow evening, but then he needed it. You see, procrastinating, putting off helping someone else in need when you have the ability to do it, putting it off until a later time, is as good as not doing it at all. Verse 29, do not plan evil against your neighbour who dwells trustingly beside you. You know, much of our lives are based on trust. We only really sleep particularly peacefully at night because we trust our neighbours, quite literally. If you lived next to a gang house, you might not sleep quite so peacefully at night, wondering when it was that they'd be over your fence and in through your window stealing your latest new gadget. Trust is so important, isn't it? In our relationships, in the home, in our workplaces, among our neighbours, wherever we are. And here the father is exhorting his son to think of others' well-being, to be considerate of others, not to be so self-obsessed that the good of those around you is undermined, even harmed. You see, he's being exhorted not to have loud parties at midnight. Doesn't do too well for neighbourly relations, you see. You want to live at peace with everyone, you need to be considerate to your neighbours. That's the thrust here of what he's saying, because they trust you. They live next door to you. They work alongside you at the next desk. And they have a certain trust in you that you will be considerate towards them. And that your behaviour and your actions are going to take into consideration their feelings and their needs. We're to think of others' well-being. And then, do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. In the narrowness of this statement, as it is expressed there, of course he's talking about not taking issue over something that shouldn't really be an issue at all. But taking it further, he's speaking about honest dealing with others. For example, you may get on quite well with your neighbour over the fence on one side of the property, but as soon as you're speaking to the neighbour on the other side of the property, you say all kinds of hurtful things about them, undermining their character. That's the kind of thing that is in mind here. You see, none of that is going to build good relationships, is it? To speak behind people's backs, completely unnecessary. It doesn't resolve any conflict that may be there. In fact, it may create a conflict that isn't there at all. You harm a person's character among your colleagues or neighbours, and it doesn't do anything to build good relationships. You see, these are very practical exhortations, aren't they? To live at peace with all men means helping at times of need, at the time of need. Thinking of others' well-being and dealing honestly with them. And it also means, in the fifth place, learning contentment. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. We're to learn contentment in a life of peace, even if it means poverty. You see, the picture that is in mind here is that the man of violence gets what he wants. We've already observed it earlier in the book of Proverbs. He fills his house with riches, with the spoil of his endeavours. But it's all to the harm of others, you see. It undermines others. He steals from others. He gives no thought to others as he climbs the corporate ladder. He doesn't care who he treads on the way up. That's the kind of man that is envisioned by the father as he encourages his son. Do not envy the man of violence. Don't choose his ways. He may get the riches that he craves, but he will not have peace. He will not enjoy good relationships with those around him. Learn contentment in a life of peace, even if it means living a life of poverty. And as you do these things, he's saying to his son, You will be exhibiting wisdom's beauty. You will be attractive to people. People will be drawn to you because you show love and concern for them, and you deal honestly with them, and they know that you are a trustworthy person in whom they can put confidence. Exhibit wisdom's beauty, and you will experience wisdom's benefits, a life of peace, the father is saying to his son. But in the third place, in verses 32 to 35, the father points his son to the basis of right living, of peaceable living. It is in a right relationship with God. You see, ultimately, if you are going to be able to exhibit wisdom's beauty, it will be because you have entered into a right relationship with the God of wisdom. This is a recurring theme, isn't it? Over and over and over again, we discover in the book of Proverbs that the fear of the Lord, a right relationship with the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. And here, this is what the Father is expressing. The basis of right living is a right relationship with God. The ability to exhibit wisdom's beauty and experience wisdom's benefit is enjoyed only when we're in a right relationship with the God of wisdom who blesses us. See what he says. Here's the basis, then, of right living. The devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. The upright, that signifies a person who has turned away from sin, turned away from deviousness and violence, and is now walking in obedience with God. That is an upright person. God brings him into his confidence. Here then is the idea of a disciple and student. A teacher, a mentor and student, a mentor who takes in this student, who lives with him and observes him and sees the way he functions. This is the idea here. God enters into confidence with those who leave their sin behind them and agree to walk in his ways. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Righteousness indicates rightness with God. It indicates that in addition to a person turning from sin and seeking to walk in obedience, God has done a transforming work, purging away the iniquity. And to use the picture presented by Jeremiah, clothing the person in righteousness. Towards scorners, he is scornful, but to the humble, he gives favour, or he gives grace. Humility is a reflection of the character of Christ the Saviour, isn't it? In Philippians, Paul urged the church to have the same mind as Christ, who, though he was equal with God, didn't see it as something to cling to, but humbled himself, became a man, became a servant, became obedient to the point of death. God favours the humble. The wise will inherit honour, the father tells his son, but fools get disgrace. And as we have seen over and over again, wisdom is found in union with Christ. He is to us righteousness, which we've just spoken of, and wisdom. So if you want to experience wisdom's benefits by exhibiting wisdom's beauty, you must enjoy wisdom's blessings that are found through relationship with Jesus Christ. It is good to live at peace with others, to have a life of peace with our neighbours and our colleagues. It's a wonderful thing. Those who don't have that long for it. Those who do have it should be thankful for it. One way of achieving it is to exhibit the beauty of Christ by Christ-like behaviour in our own lives. Indeed, in the midst of that section of Romans chapter 12 that I referred to at the beginning of our service, where Paul exhorts his readers to live at peace with all, it is found in amongst these other exhortations. And see the echo here of Proverbs chapter 3. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them, do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honourable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. To live at peace with others is a great blessing. But most important of all, is to live at peace with God. For it is only by living at peace with God that we acquire wisdom's beauty that enables us to live at peace with our fellow men. May God help each one of us to trust in Christ, to put on Christ, and to exhibit Christ and his beauty to those around us.